day. Let's open up to a couple places to start. Zechariah chapter 3 and also 1 Peter chapter 5. Zechariah 3 and 1 Peter 5. Zechariah 3, and although there's a story to all this, I mainly want you just to show you one verse here. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. All right, now, 1 Peter chapter 5, you'll notice he said that Satan resisted Joshua. 1 Peter chapter 5, let me start reading in verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren there in the world. And remember, the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world. But let's open up with a word of prayer. Father, we come to you here tonight and grateful for a chance to meet again. And Father, for the visitors that were here this morning, the prayers that have been answered, Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. We pray that you'll be with our folks that are missing right now just due to sickness and illness and injury, that sort of thing. Look forward to Brother Haben being here in a couple of weeks. We look forward to this week with putting together some scripture. I pray that you'd prosper us in these things, Father. We look forward to what you have in front of us here. We have managed to, so far, survive the perilous last days. And, Father, you've allowed us to have some fruit. I don't say we've had all the fruit we could have, but you've allowed us, Father, to continue to preach and teach the Bible. And it's a dangerous day we live in spiritually. I pray you might give us light on some of that here tonight, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so, you know, of recent our prayer lists have been quite long, and there's just, you see things happen. Sometimes it piles up on one person, but all in all, there's just a lot of resistance going on in Christianity these days. We know that the latter days, perilous times shall come. We should expect that. Some folks talk about spiritual warfare. Some of them talk about it. I'm not sure they know anything about it, really. but I want to talk about that for a little while here, because you come into what we're seeing happen right now. And like I said, everywhere you turn, it seems like somebody is going through something almost horrific. I mean, I know you guys don't know her, and I didn't really know her. I knew him. But Grace Reagan, this thing that she's suffering with, this body reaction to this injury with her leg, you know, they're saying, by they, I mean doctors, are saying that this is about as painful as anything can be for a human being. And so she's lived with this for however many months it's been now. And so, you know, you start hearing that, and then, you know, the Wilcoxes who have, you know, two cleft palate kids, which is very, very unusual. It's not supposed to be something genetic, but they wind up with two cleft palate kids, and there's been a continuing complication with all that stuff. And by the time you go around the room and all the crutches and stuff, you know, it's just kind of weird how things happen. And you become aware, and so your mind reaches out to try to figure out, you know, what the system is for it. You know, what causes this exactly? And of course, we're real quick to blame the devil, and some of it's his fault. I totally get that. But we still kind of labor in our minds, I think, for an explanation to why, how this works. And I can't give you exacting things, but I can give you a principle that you can kind of gauge your position by. I think it'll be a help. It was a help to me. So let me just think about this. You saw in both passages we read, you found the devil resisting Joshua. And then you find that God resists the proud man, right? And then you find that we're called to resist the devil. Well, that's just a really a short list, because in Zechariah 3, the devil resists man. In 1 Peter 5, man is supposed to resist the devil. In 1 Peter 5:5, God resists a proud man. And you don't have to go very far to find out that man resists God, right? I mean, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, Stephen said. I can quote you 2 Timothy chapter 3, where these men of corrupt minds do always resist the truth. And so it's not unusual at all to find that man resists God. So the devil resists man. Man's supposed to resist the devil. God resists a proud man, a rebellious man. A man often resists God. The devil resists God, right? I mean, we're talking here about Isaiah 14 we read this morning in Sunday school. And Genesis 3, the devil is always trying to mess something up. Men are supposed to resist sin. You've not yet shed blood striving against sin. We're supposed to strive against sin. We're supposed to resist sin. So there's all these resistance verses piling up. Then you have, you know, our enemy is the world, of course. The world resists us where we try to do right. The flesh resists us where we try to do right. To make it worse, we have two natures now. If you're a Christian, you're a schizophrenic. You have an old man that wants to do wrong and a new man that wants to do right. When you have those kind of things clash, when you have that kind of resistance, then there's something that's true from Job. Job said from Job chapter 5, verse 6, although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, affliction doesn't just come out of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born into trouble, and the sparks fly upward. And in that very book, you have the devil showing up once with the sons of God, and the Lord saying, hey, have you noticed my servant Job? Ah, if you built a hedge around that dude, if you let me even touch him, he'll curse you to your face. And so off we go into Job's trials. But that's a conflict, that's a resistance between God and Satan. And so Ecclesiastes 8 says there is no discharge in that war. The key to what I want to preach to you tonight, and I got to be careful because it's not an absolute every time rule. Hopefully I'll get to explain that later. But the key lies in the concept and the word resist, resistance. And so I'll preach to you tonight about resistance. Resistance is a well understood concept in the world. In an electrical system, you have voltage across a circuit and current in that circuit, and you have resistance in the circuit. There's always resistance in the electrical circuit. It's the wires, right? And so everybody here knows what a resistor is. You experience resistance every day. If you have a toaster, how many have a toaster? That toaster is a resistor. And the reason you pop the bread in and put the thing down, like whatever, then the electricity flowing through those wires causes them to heat up and redden, and they, you know, it makes you toast in a minute and a half or whatever it is. But that's a resistor. Your stove in your kitchen is a resistor if it's electric. If you have an electric heater, that's a resistor. I know these days they have more battery-powered hand tools than anything else, but You know, if you have a 150-foot extension cord and you plug a grinder into it, have to go grind something out, you know, away from the house or something, if you go back after 5 minutes and touch that extension cord, it's hot because there's resistance in that thing. That resistance, for what it's worth, is symbolized by omega, which is like an upside-down horseshoe. And it's measured in ohms. And there's such a thing as Ohm's law. But resistance is a well-known, well-understood thing. It's true of, you know, two materials' friction. After all, you can start a fire if you have a little talent and some patience with it, with two sticks. No matches. Amen? You can start a fire. If you're familiar with, if you've ever reached down and you heard a funny squeaking in your front or rear of your car, and you reach down and touch the hub of the wheel, you may have gotten a burned hand because the ball bearing may have gone out and there may be too much heat in there. The point is that this is a well-known thing, both in electrical systems and as far as friction's concerned, just heat. You know, two things rubbing together. It's the same in engines. It's the same with your brake rotors, everything else. If you take it to politics and government, oftentimes there's real resistance and a war breaks out. My point in saying these things is we've just looked at just two or three, but I've mentioned several. And if you go through, you'll find out that resistance is something that is often spoken of in the Word of God. It's about 15 times in the Bible. And when you start studying it, you realize that that's what a lot of your where a lot of your trouble comes from. And so let me preach to you for a little while on resistance. Tonight it's not going to be real long or anything. It's not really in depth. But let me just point out to you that here you have the devil resisting God, God resisting the devil, man supposed to resist the devil resists man when he's trying to do right, God resists man when he's trying to do wrong, and off we go. The world resists us if we're trying to do right, the flesh resists us if we're trying to do right. Meanwhile, there's a new man and an old man. The spirit lusteth against the flesh, and the flesh lusteth against the spirit. There's conflict. There's resistance. I want to say that that resistance guarantees the conflict. There will be heat in an electrical circuit because there is resistance. There will be heat where there are mechanical parts moving against each other. Think about a brake rotor and brake pads. If you've ever reached down and touched that, you probably won't do it again. If you've just gotten off the brakes. The point is, there is conflict, there's resistance. There will be controversy and resistance in political systems and societies. That's the reason that we have wars. And so the point simply is that God resists Satan. Satan resists God. Man resists God when he doesn't want to do right. Man resists the devil when he does want to do right. And meanwhile, you have God resisting man, you have man resisting God, you have the world, the flesh, and the devil involved, you have two natures involved. There's lots of moving parts. And that's why you can't always infallibly say, well, this is the problem. This is the devil. You can't always say it's the devil causing me problems, but you do get a general sense of things because there is going to be trouble, there's going to be fire with this kind of spiritual conflict going about. Rocks and metal burn up coming from outer space when they come into our atmosphere. And that's just air. There's that much friction in the air. When a real buster of a thunderstorm blows up, part of it is temperature gradients and humidity, but part of it is the friction in the air. And so what's produced out of the sky, out of water, in the clouds is fire, lightning. It's kind of amazing when you stop and think about it. You can't do that. My point, folks, is that, you know, you put a left-wing commie lesbian liberal in a room with a independent Baptist preacher, there's going to be fire, man. Point is that there's going to be trouble. And that resistance is the common denominator to all those things. And so there's a couple of lessons. First of all, a troubleless existence is a pipe dream. We read that passage earlier where, these things are fulfilled even in our brethren in the world. Even lost people deal with these things, right? After all, a lost guy is not acknowledging God. And so God's out to try to turn him, try to save him. So the Lord's going to eventually do something in the guy's life to make him uncomfortable. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be resistance. If a man is trying to do wrong, and the Lord is going to work him over. If a man is trying to do right, well, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He's going to suffer conflict. He's going to suffer resistance from the devil. He's going to suffer resistance from the world. He's going to suffer resistance from his own flesh. He's going to suffer resistance even from some of his own friends. That's what we call spiritual warfare. And a lot of it is based around just the fact that there is such a thing as resistance that the Bible acknowledges. So living a troubleless life as a non-Christian, sometimes we look at, you have a tendency to look at the super rich and the super famous and all, and they have all this buku of money that you can't even imagine and all that stuff. And you think that, well, they somehow they're doing fine. Until you get a glimpse behind the curtain and you find out they're not doing fine at all. I mean, they're a soup sandwich. They're a royal mess. But it's because they're going against the grain. It's because they're going against God. God wants something from their lives, and they continue in rebellion, but it's the resistance that causes them the trouble. If you're trying to live for God as a general rule, and I'll say more about it in a second, but if you're trying to live for God, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're trying to live for Him, the devil's not happy. The world's not happy. Your flesh ain't happy. your friend's flesh isn't happy. Maybe even your mama's flesh isn't happy. And so you may have some misery that comes your way because of that resistance, because of that conflict. And so first of all, a troubleless existence is a pipe dream. Man is born into trouble and the sparks fly upward. It's just true. It's true all the way across the board. If you think you're going to avoid trouble, you are not going to succeed. You think you can avoid trouble by just doing wrong and living for yourself and letting go in the way of the world, it's not going to work. The Lord's going to get you. And if you're going to go with the Lord, then, ladies and gentlemen, the devil's going to get you. Or the world, by the way, the devil's the god of this world, so that plays in there. And by the way, he wants control of your flesh. So even the flesh itself, the devil can get a hold of it and use it against you. My point, folks, is that, first of all, the resistance guarantees the conflict. Second lesson out of that is that, I'm no electrician, but this, I can understand Ohm's law enough to know that where there is voltage and current in a circuit, in a wire, there will be resistance and there will be heat. It's really quite simple. What pushes forward is pushed back against by resistance. Okay? I know that's true, by the way, spiritually. Because I know if I'm going to resist God, He's going to resist me. So there's going to be some things that come down my way, right? I know if I am going to resist the devil, then he's going to resist me. And now I'm suffering for the Lord, but I got trouble from the devil, the world, the flesh. Okay, so first of all, the fact that you were born into a world that's spiritually fallen with these forces working against each other, then you got saved, and now you got a force within you working against you. You have the old nature and the new nature. You have a spirit in you that doesn't match the spirit of the world. It doesn't match the spirit that you used to have. There is going to be conflict because of that resistance. Now, second point that I'd like to make is that not only does it guarantee the conflict, it begs the question. And I say it begs the question because where there's smoke, there's fire. Where there is conflict and trouble, then there's resistance somewhere. People that are getting along swimmingly don't fight. Two nations that get along great don't have war. Where there is war, where there is a fight, is where there's resistance, where they don't agree, where there's friction, right? And so I need to ask you this. When it comes boils down to taking a look at your Christian life, who is it that you're resisting? You know, I know people who, if you ask them, they'll say they're serving God. When you look at their lives, you can't really tell, right? And I'm saying that you need to settle in your heart that you are forced to resist somebody. If you go with the world and the flesh and or the devil, then you're resisting God. And so God's going to resist you. You're going to have trouble from that vantage. If you're willing to serve God, then you're going to have trouble from the devil, the world, and the flesh. And perhaps some people's other flesh too. But you need to settle in your heart. You need to ask yourself the question, whom do you resist? Against what do you resist? Who's resisting you? Is it the devil resisting you because you're trying to do right? Or is the Lord resisting you because you're proud or a rebel or disobedient? Right? In the end, if you know, the more I thought about this, the more I realized, you know, you can, looking at this issue with resistance in the Word of God, you can kind of figure out some things. You can figure out kind of where some things are coming from, what's going on here. It's the other side of service. We say, well, I serve God. Well, if you're going to serve God, then you have to resist something else. If you're going to serve God, you're going to have to resist the flesh. Because the flesh is going to say, no, 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 no. Right? If you're going to serve God, then you have to resist the flesh. You're going to have to resist the world because the world don't like it. And chances are some of your family doesn't like it. And we'll let you know real fast. Families do that. And you're going to have to make up your mind, you know, who you're going to resist, because in order to serve God, you're going to have to resist the devil, the world, the flesh. And so there's going to be trouble. I have a hard time sometimes communicating to someone freshly coming into a church, you know, and it's so wonderful and everybody's dressed up and everybody's, you know, so spiritual. And this is so good. I've never heard some of this stuff. It's so, so cool. Get ready for a war because you're siding with the Lord now, and somebody don't like that, including the world, including the flesh, and including the devil, and including probably some people around you that aren't interested in serving God either. But I want to say it begs the question. It begs the question because this is the other side of service. If you're going to serve God, then you're going to have to resist something else. If you're going to serve God, you know, going street preaching, you know, going door knocking, going into public with tracts, that sort of thing. The flesh does not want to do that. I mean, it just kicks a hissy fit every time you do. That's because you're resisting it. You decided to go with the Lord, so you're having to resist that. And then along comes the devil and, you know, sets the world on you. Or maybe it's the devil himself at times. Again, I'll talk more about that in a second. But the simple point is that it's the other side of service. You know, if you're going to serve the world, then you can have no doubt about it. The Lord's going to come try to recover you. He's going to teach you a lesson, or try to. And so, whatever it is you serve, You're going to have to resist the opposite. No man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve the Lord and the world at the same time. It's not going to work. You can't do it. And I know everybody tries, but you can't do it. You're going to be miserable. And so there's that. It guarantees a conflict, this resistance. It begs the question. It begs the question of who is it that you're resisting? Because if I know who you're resisting, then I probably know who you're serving. Right? Now there's another thing here. It also helps, and this is not 100%, it helps categorize the trouble. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation." He promised tribulation. "But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." And we read in Galatians that the flesh lusteth against the spirit, against and the spirit against the flesh. Okay? So trouble comes your way. You know, it's the whole Job complex. And the age-old question is, what did I do wrong? You know, why do good people have to go through this? That sort of thing. And I understand there's some hard questions to be asked, and there are hard answers to seek after, and I can't answer all those questions in one little simple formula. I don't pretend to, but I do know this. You need to ask yourself who you're resisting and who is resisting you. And if it probably relates to who you're serving. If you're serving God wholeheartedly, then the likelihood is that some of the trouble does indeed arise from the devil. Now, don't get satanophobic on me, because don't forget, the devil can use your flesh. In fact, he wants to. And the devil can use the world, and in fact, he does all the time. So let's not talk about the exorcist and our heads turning around backwards and all that stuff, okay? But the simple fact is, you need to ask who you're resisting. And by knowing who you're resisting, I probably know who you're trying to serve. When you know, knew as a kid, that you were forbidden to go in the kitchen, climb on up on a kitchen chair, and get on the cabinet and get in mom's cookie jar without asking permission. So when you stole a cookie, who's going to whop you upside the head? Mom, unless she's sick dad on you too. But in other words, you knew where it was coming. You knew where the trouble was going to come from, because you stole a cookie. And you knew your mom, you disobeyed your mother, and you knew that she was going to whop you upside the head. When you go to the school playground and kick the bully in the shin, who's going to whop you upside the head? Well, duh, right? I mean, you know who does that. When you resist the IRS, who's going to eventually catch up to you? When you drive 85 all the time, who's coming after you? See, you already know the answer. You know who's coming after you. And so that's really the point. It helps you to categorize the trouble. It helps you to know that, well, it's going to come from that direction. What happened this morning? You know, when we had all four kids at home and the dog, sometimes our house was a three-ring circus trying to get away from the house to go to church. The dog is pooping and the kids are puking, and honestly, it's a miracle we ever all got to church at the same time. Well, okay, who's responsible for that? Most likely. I'm not talking about just infinitely detailed stuff, but in general, if I'm trying to do right and trying to serve God, then who's probably going to stand against me? Well, the devil, right? And probably he's going to employ the world and the flesh along with it as well. Okay, so if you come out of your house and you're going to church that morning, or you intend to, and there's radiator fluid all over underneath your car, who's responsible for that? Now, before you answer it, Turn that around. If you're leaving the house that morning to go, actually, you decided to lay home from church and you're going down to the liquor store down the street. But you come out, you're going to buzz in there in your sweatpants and stuff, and you come out and there's radiator fluid all over underneath your car. Okay, who probably is resisting you there? Now, I know that's not 100% all the time. I get that, but the bottom line is when you start thinking about things this way, you probably have a pretty good idea of the source of the trouble. I'm not trying to build satanophobia into you. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to get you blaming the devil for everything, because he's not to blame for everything. Your flesh is to blame for plenty. But when it gets down to it, you know, who's going to whop a husband upside the head that's not leading his home spiritually? It's probably going to be the Lord after him. For a man that is leading his home spiritually, who's probably going to whop him upside the head? Well, it's probably going to be the opposite party. It's probably going to be the devil, right? My point, folks, is it kind of helps you to recognize what quarter the trouble's coming from by just pegging down this issue of resistance. I mean, whoever you're serving, there's another opposite spiritual entity out there. Now, that includes the world and the flesh, by the way, that's going to oppose you. And it's going to cause heat. It's going to cause fire. You're going to have trouble. You basically, in saying this, you basically, well, you said already, you're going to have trouble anyway. I mean, I don't care what you say. You're going to get sick. You're going to have trials. You're going to wind up in the hospital somewhere along the way. Look, somebody's going to die somewhere that you know and love. It's going to happen. You can't help it. You're going to suffer money problems. You're going to may face bankruptcy. Your car is going to break down. Your water heater is going to blow up. Happens to everybody. Okay? But for some trouble, if you get straight in your head who it is you're resisting, then you know what quarter the problem is probably going to come from. You get to kind of choose the source of your trouble, because if I serve God wholeheartedly, now I'm recognizing the fact that sometimes the Lord hammers me and doesn't give me what I want because he's going to try to give me something better. There's also basic chastisement, okay? I recognize those things. But I'm saying in general that in the main, if you're wholeheartedly serving God, then probably where the resistance is coming from is the other spiritual side of things, the world and the flesh. Maybe your own flesh, and maybe some of your unsanctified relatives' flesh, your unsanctified friends' flesh. But you're going to get trouble anyway, so don't you think it might be not the worst thing in the world to just kind of get a chance to say, well, I'd rather have trouble from over there than over there. So, you know, if I'm going to get it in the neck, I'd just soon not have the Lord hit me in the neck. I'd just soon have the devil hitting me in the neck because I'm serving God, and then God can protect my neck. But I'm without trying to get, you know, like I said, infinitely detailed on it where, you know, this is just this way all the time. In generality, who it is you're resisting defines who it is you're serving. And who you're serving and whom you're resisting pretty much defines where the trouble's coming from. If you're serving God and resisting the devil, then he's upset and he's going to get you. If you're serving the devil and resisting God and are proud and rebellious, then probably he's going to teach you a lesson somehow. So I'm saying, in a way, without, again, being able to walk up to the Coke machine and put in your quarters and get exactly out what you want, you do kind of get to choose the quarter your trouble comes from. So would you rather have trouble from the devil, the world and the flesh, or would you rather have trouble from God? Because I don't see anything wrong with that statement, doctrinally. So I want to say it identifies your adversary. And again, I recognize that there are some things there. I know that sometimes God resists you. What would be good for you because he wants to give you something better, okay? So please, I acknowledge that. But you ought to recognize trouble springing from the devil as well. All that will live godly. So again, back to the guy that comes into church and thinks that, you know, this is just a wonderland for about 3 weeks or a month until something happens that he doesn't understand. Okay, he decided to serve God, and he's getting his soul fed for the first time. And, you know, things are really good, and the brethren look really good, and all those things. And he comes down here and decides to, you know, I want more of this. I don't know how, Lord, I don't ever intend to leave. I never intend to backslide. I said that once. I ain't never said it again. No, oh, man, I'll never backslide. Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, all I can say, you come down here and start making those proclamations on an altar, and all that will live godly. I mean, just the will to do it, just coming down and praying about it, brings some friction your way from the other side. You might as well expect it. Now, I just want to say that I know some holy, miserable Christians in this life. I know some Christians that are going through some things, and I think that when you track it back, it's the fact that they've tried to serve two masters. And they're trying to serve God, but they are not willing to turn loose of the world at all. And so the Lord's teaching his kids a lesson. They're getting resistance from him. Now, I'm telling you that at a certain level, anyway, in generality, an overall life, an overall year, you may have a rough year anyway. The Lord lets you go through something like Job went through, whatever, because there is a conflict between God and the devil. But in generality, you pretty much, if you're serving God, you know that your trouble is probably going to come from the other spiritual side of things. And if you're going to serve half-heartedly, and so in part serve the devil and the world, then you have a pretty good idea that some of the friction that you're being caused is probably coming from the Lord. Because he's not interested in you doing that. So it kind of helps you categorize your trouble. Does that make sense? See, I don't know. It kind of helps me. But I want to say lastly, and I'll be done. It helps you locate your spiritual position. I don't know about you, but, you know, sometimes you get doctrine thrown at you and you come to church and a lot of stuff happening and negative stuff happens and positive stuff happens and all that. And so, do you ever get to that place where you wonder, like, well, I was going to say, I thought I was doing good by taking vitamin D. But I never had a blood test. Right? So I had no clue. So I'm ODing on vitamin D. And it's not helping the knee. Okay? You ever get like that where you have a general idea kind of where you think you are, but you don't know for sure? Well, there's one decent way I've learned to kind of locate my spiritual position. And that's by genuinely assessing who I am resisting and who I'm serving. And thereby kind of discerning who's resisting me. If the trouble I've got is all from the world, the flesh, and the devil, and I'm serving God, I hate to tell you this, but and it's not a Joel Osteen message, but that's where you want to be. Because you're going to have trouble anyway. Amen. Right? So, if you're serving God, you're going to have trouble from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And probably some of the devil's people that he's using. Some of them may be Christians. But you're serving God, and so your resistance is coming from the other side. Now, if you're serving, trying to serve the world and the Lord at the same time, then probably what's going to happen is the Lord's going to get you, because he doesn't like that stuff. And so now some of your trouble may be coming from the Lord. See what I'm saying? It helps you locate where you're at. It helps you locate a landmark where you can say, I know I'm serving God. I'm serving God with my whole heart. And so what trouble I'm getting is not from him. Don't go off blaming the devil for everything, okay? Because sometimes it's the world, sometimes it's your own flesh, okay? And the devil uses those things. And so, but you can at least say, I know that I'm wholeheartedly serving God, then some of the trouble, the resistance, the conflict is coming probably from the other side. Does that help? It helped me. Amen? All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, wasn't long tonight. I just prayed.